And I'm going to start here at verse 10. Real familiar. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, so I want to give you some things tonight on what you are. What you are. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, once again, I thank you for being able to be here. God, what a blessing it is. And to have these folks come out. Well, Lord, I pray, God, that you would give them something tonight to feed their souls. They came here to get something from you. And Lord, I pray you'd refresh them, God, and strengthen them and help them keep in mind exactly here what I'm going to try to get across, Lord, what they are. Lord, and I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up, of course, and you may receive the glory and honor for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. All right, now, kind of pick things up in the middle of the chapter there on that. A couple things are going to stand out, and I realize there are some doctrinal things, you know, about these chapters here that they're more in with the constitution of the kingdom that's coming, right? But, of course, there's always some real good practical things for us to get. And that's what I'm going to be aiming at here, mainly going to be aimed to save folks, right? So if you're lost here tonight, I hope maybe it might touch your heart about needing a Savior, and, you know, you would trust Him, right? But in the main, this is going to be directed to you Christians, okay, on this, all right? So start on to say, you realize, Christian, that we are subject, all of us, to the affairs of this world, right? The problems that come, just as anyone else, we're right in that thing. It would sure be nice if we saved folks could be separated from that. Okay, you know, you understand what I'm talking about, right? But, you know, when that economy tanks, when the government is corrupt and, riots ensue and the world just loses its mind, right? And they're in panic mode, sets in, and inflation rises. The fact is, folks, we are affected just like everyone else is and that kind of stuff. And I'm going to say, you know, that is not an unbiblical concept when you think about that. Us, just you know here we are, God's children, born again, on our way to heaven, and you know, everything around us when we're here, that hey, we get put into that and it affects us also. You remember Caleb and Joshua, right? Oh boy, those guys were, man, they were the heroic spies, right? They said, hey guys, let's go in, let's take that land, giants or no giants, let's go, right? But unfortunately, you know, as you have read, that the other spies disagreed with that, and then the people just followed them, right? They took the wrong choice on that one for sure, okay? But what followed with that is still Joshua and Caleb, right? They still wound up having to be dragged back into the wilderness and just await the death of the whole generation, right? They had to go back to that kind of stuff. Now, I'm going to say I take that to understand that even though maybe I realize I'm not as, you know, as in bad shape as some Christians may be, it we're still in Laodicea. I believe that's where we are. That hey, I'm still gonna have to suffer some things, okay, in this world. That even, you know, lost, even wicked people suffer. Backslidden Christians, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, that's just the way it works. You remember Daniel and his three friends, right? Those Hebrew children, they were right with God. I believe that, they were right there in fellowship with him. But you know what? They got dragged into captivity, taken away, just like everybody else at the time, okay? My point is, hey, we're not excluded from the problems and affairs of life, okay? So I'm going to say what really kind of knocks me here lately here is, you know, health things, okay? What would kind of stop me forgetting of what I am? And maybe it stops you forgetting sometimes what you are is some things you have to go through in your health and issues like that, okay? But you got to push through that, and you got to remember, you know, what you are, okay? What you are. You can be right with God. You can still suffer things in this world. You are, right? Trouble, it just doesn't come on the wicked or apostate Christians. But a Christian, folks, that's not ready for that can kind of go into despair if it hits and he's not ready, right? He can lose heart. You remember Jesus' disciples, right? They're walking with him daily. Yet, if you get over there in Mark chapter 4, right, you read through there, he's back sleeping in the boat, right? And then the winds start to come up, and boy, those winds start to upset stuff. And those disciples, man, they get upset to the point of waking Jesus up and accusing him of not caring. You know, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Right? You say, what was that? Hey, they were panicked. Okay, those disciples, man, they were panicked. So that kind of thing, you understand, can happen to you as a Christian and to me as a Christian. And, you know, don't forget, if you look through history, you know, the Roman persecutions that came up upon those first generation, you know, after the apostles, right? When you read, maybe if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know, Martyr's Mirrors, going on through there, the things that happen, boy... those Christians right there, I just think, you know, I thank the Lord for his mercy and his goodness that, you know, I was born right now, not back then, right? But you got to remember, hey, those were genuine Christians, right, who were being nailed to the cross and who were being put on the torture rack and all those kind of things going through. Genuine Christians having to suffer through that and go through that, right? My point, again, is that, you know... it is going to help you, and whatever you go through in this life, and what you may be facing right now, to remember, you know, what you are, okay? What you are. So I'm going to kind of remind you tonight. I'm sure you're aware of that, and you've heard it probably many times, but it's going to be a reminder to keep your mind, Christian, on what you are. And, of course, the first one I want to point out there is right in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Let's read that again. And it's going to be, I'm going to give you some points on here exactly in these words of what, you know, Jesus said you are, what the Apostle Paul through the Scriptures said you are. All right. And of course, Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So, all right, Christian, ye are the light of the world. Okay. If there is anything, can I say, luminous, right, in this world, it's you, okay? Jesus Christ, we know, came into this world, and this world's a very dark place, all right? I believe getting darker and darker by the second, spiritual-wise and those things. In him, the Bible tells us, was life. The Bible says the life was the light of men, and that light, it says there, shineth in the darkness, right? Darkness comprehended it not. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. He came into this world. He is light, man. He was light. First of all, God is light. We know that Christ was God. And Jesus, he could confidently say and truly say, I am the light of the world, right? He declared that. He said that thing, right? And he's saying, you know, he said there, Christians, you know, disciples there, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Some of you thought about that much, Christian. I mean, so when he said it, as long as he's in the world, he's gone, right? So now, who is the light of the world now, right? You think about that much? Who's the light of the world now? You know, hey, tag, you're it. You're it, Christian. Ye are the light of the world. So with all the things going on, might I say, you and I are still supposed to be of good cheer, okay? We are, right? We're not called to despair because we are the light of the world, right? As much as you may want to sometimes just quit, right? Maybe you want to get away from, you know, everything, you know, that's around you, and maybe as little as you feel qualified to be called the light of the world, okay? Or think that you just can't do it. Again, you know, go back to what Jesus Christ said. He said, hey, ye are the light of the world. And he's talking to us, all right? Obviously, Jesus Christ is the light. We know that the Holy Spirit of God is light. We know the Word of God is light, right? On those things, but still, okay, you are the light of the world, okay? And you and I are told to occupy, right, till he comes. And the fact is, when you think about this dark world and the lost folks out there, if they don't get light from you, where will they get it? Okay? Where are they going to get any light, Christian? I mean, you're the light. I mean, you make no mistake about that. Jesus said, hey, after I'm gone, right, I'm not the light as I was when I was on this earth, right? Here, you are the light of the world. You are it. You are it. And I realize, you know, folks, you know, Christians say, well, I just feel so unqualified. Yeah, join the club, and that kind of stuff, right? You say, well, what do? Well, you get in the Bible, right? You get in the Bible, and you get qualified, okay? Right? That's it. Who's going to get the light to those around you, all right? If you don't, nobody will, all right? So I'm pointing out to you, as much as you want to forget sometimes about everybody else and things that's going on with them, can I tell you, you can't do that, all right? You know you can't. You can't do it, all right? You are the light of the world. I'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm probably sure you're familiar with that again. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Let me read that here if I can get to it. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Right? Notice what it says here. Well, 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Right? You see that thing right there? I mean, if you're saved, you understand, you're not blinded. You're not in the darkness if you're saved, okay? And so you understand, when you try to tell folks stuff and you witness to them or whatever, that the world, you know, they're just gonna say that guy's insane. He's nuts, right? But you're not insane, okay? We're not the insane ones, right? You're the ones with the candle. You're the one with the flashlight, Christian, okay? You need to quit ducking your head every time if someone reproaches you for believing that so-called stupid Bible. All right? Don't duck your head down, put it down. No, I ain't going to do that. You're the light. They don't believe it, but you do. So you let your light shine before men, according to what we're supposed to do, right? I know you got to work at it at times, right? It's something we all have to work at on that kind of stuff. It doesn't come just instantly, I'm going to say. So you study, you read, you pray, right? You want to reach folks. You study that book. You try to get answers from the Bible for that they might have while they're in the darkness, okay? It is an attainment. It is something to work for more and more. You work at it. Jesus said, I am the light and while I'm here, but I'm leaving you in this world, and you are it. All right? So listen, Christian, don't forget. Just a reminder, you know, you are light. Now, there's something else. Go back to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse 13. Here's the second thing here. 13, he says there, pretty plain, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. All right, so, all right, ye are the salt of the earth. All right. If the salt, he says, there has lost its savor, right, its taste or its smell. You understand what he's saying, right? If it's lost that savor, that's kind of a scary thing to me, right? Because it says there it's good for nothing, all right? Now, doctrinally, I believe there are Christians that are going to heaven, right? They've been saved, and yet, can I tell you, they're just good for nothing? don't know about you, all right, but I don't want to be good for nothing Christian. You know, I don't want to have lost my savor. Right? He said I'm to be the salt, you know, salt stick or something like that. On that, you know, don't forget it. Don't forget what he said. Ye are the salt of the earth, right? You're the savor. Can I tell you, the salt of the earth. Salt has a whole lot of good qualities. You understand that? It has antiseptic properties to it, preserving properties in it, right? The infection, can I tell you, in this world that's going on right now, Christian, it gets worse and worse. And you understand, hey, you're the answer. Yeah, you are. Your salt, can I say, you can be a help. You say, what can I do? Well, they can be a help to someone next to you, around you, right? God chose, I believe, as Christians to keep his words, all right, to preserve families, people, souls, right? When they get the word of God and they accept that and they get a hold of that, they get saved, right? Of course, they're preserved for eternity, right? But I'm talking about even Christians. When you get more of that thing right there, how much more does it help you and others? And it, you understand, it is supposed to be, that word of God to you and that savor is supposed to be real enough to you and for others to go on, right? Is it? You have that savor in salt. Salt represents judgment in the Bible. Salt is the savor in foods. I don't know about you, who can stand food that's not seasoned? It's a terrible thing. My father-in-law, when he was in the hospital one time, you know, they going through some stuff and they were giving him medication, right? When he got out of the hospital, he said he could not taste a thing, right? He said it's not enjoyable. You have something there that you know you love and you just want to eat, and yet you can't even taste the flavor of it. I mean, it's just like, you know, I definitely lose some weight on that, right? It doesn't taste good, right? There's no savor to that thing right there. So I'm going to say, if you and I as Christians, you know, if you don't savor the Bible, okay? Christians, you know, I tell you, they look at you like you are a Bible fanatic with that King James Bible. They don't understand. Can I tell you, some of that is because they don't savor the words of God, all right? They just don't, they don't have that savor. If you don't savor your Christian life, right, what Christ has given you, right, what the Lord has entrusted you and I here with, folks, if you don't have that savor, that flavor going on with a relationship with your God and your walk, hey, you know, if your attitude toward this book is just like, yuck, you know, and I read that again, you know, I know some parts of it, you know, you got to plow through and you get in there. But I mean, why would you think, if that's your attitude and your stuff going on, why would you think anyone lost would want it? Right? We're it, folks. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world right there. You're it. You got it. Okay. Now, here's something else. John chapter 15. Look over here in John 15. I realize, again, it's easy to get off track, Christian. It's easy to forget, you know, what you are. You go through some things that are just battling on you, beating on you, and you get focusing on that. You know, so I'm reminding you here, John chapter 15, look at verse 1, right? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 5, I am the vine. Now listen what he says, ye are the branches, okay? He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing, okay? So, you learn some things. You know, something else here that you are. Jesus said, hey, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Jesus, you understand in the Bible, he is the root and offspring of David, right? Jesus Christ is the root of the plant. He is the vine. We are the branches. So, as a branch on a living plant, even though I realize you and I have been grafted in, okay, we're not the natural plant, you know, the nation of Israel, the Jews were, but since we would believe on Jesus Christ and they would not, he has grafted us in, the Gentiles and that kind of thing, right? So we are, can I tell you now, we are living branches, according to the Bible. You can look at Romans chapter 11, you get all that kind of stuff. Now, you understand in this thing here, then you and I, we're just the branches, we are fed by the vine, right? That's connected to the root. Now, and understand, both those things are Jesus Christ. He's the vine, he's the root, we're connected, we're just a branch, right? That means we're connected to life. Amen? We got life. It's a connection to life. You are a conduit, all right, from which God flows through Jesus Christ through you to produce fruit, right? That's to grow in our life, okay? It's spiritual fruit, right? Power flows through you. If you're saved, you say, well, I don't feel that much, you know, and I got to say, honestly, Christian, you wouldn't. You know, it's just not the way things are where we're at right now, okay? But it does. I got to tell you, it does, right? Like, no one else has that, okay? You and I have, a bunch of pretenders out there today, ain't there? I mean, boy, this world's just invaded from Muslim. You look at the Muslims, maybe you look at their zeal, and you think, well, man, they're really connected because, boy, they're on fire. But they're not connected to life. Spiritually, they don't have that, right? You might think of any of the other religions, you know. Well, those guys are real serious. They do some stuff. They must be connected. You know, they go through all the motions and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you, all the gurus and the rest of that stuff, they're not connected to Jesus Christ. No, not without the new birth, right? If you're saved, right, you are the branches, okay? You're connected to life then, all right? We have it. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And he says, you're the branches, right? Nobody else is connected like that, Christian. You understand what a thing this is here? And anyone can come and be saved, right? On that. But until they are not a part of that vine. They don't have no connection to life. They can't get that thing right there. I mean, and so, listen, before you maybe feel like you're going to curl up and just try to disappear because of all the things hitting you or because, you know, of all the trash that's happening in life, you know, the American government and stuff like that. Listen, hey, no, you are the light of the world. Who will be light then if you don't? Right? You understand? You are the salt of the earth. Who will be the savior, the saver, right, of this thing if you don't have that, right? None. There's none that's going to do that. You're the branches. I mean, where will be the connection with life for the world, the lost world, be if you don't, if you give up? Okay? You can't lay down and give up because there's too much at stake. Let me tell you, okay? You can't quit. I'll just tell you that right now because, you know, you're not supposed to be derelict on your duties as far as being what Jesus Christ said you are, okay? You got to maybe put some stuff in it, okay? As far as these things he's saying you are, pay attention to it, right? Try to add to some things in your life and these directions there, and God will give you the increase so you can, you know, say, hey, that's right, that's it. But another one here, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, here's something else. 1 Corinthians 3, and look down there at verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I know you get this, you know these things, but it's always good to be reminded. Again, let me tell you here, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, that's good, isn't it? Right there you say, hey, you know, we say, folks, you know what you are? You are the temple of God. Now, you want to get this thing straight, right? So you're the temple of God. So listen, Christian, you can't give up. You can't just lay down in your Christian life and not stand up for Jesus Christ and what you know you are, right, and quit. You, can I say this? You better listen to this, because I don't tell this to a whole lot of people a lot of times, right? I don't just tell them this. You are important. Okay? And I don't say that much today because people are so full of themselves. They think they are somewhere there, you know, they already got that kind of high head and stuff like that. But really, I'm not kidding you, Christian. You are important. According to Jesus Christ and what Paul says here on these things right here, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You are the branches. And this thing here, you are the temple of God. Look at chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, and look at verse 19. Again, he emphasizes this thing here. Paul says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye're not your own?" Okay, right? You get that? Paul drives that thing in there, right? You can't lay down, Christian. You're the temple of God, all right? If you want to bear your temple in holiness, okay, you ought to want that, right? Can I say, then, where will they come if you don't bear your temple in holiness, right? If you just let that thing go, where will anybody come, right, into connection with anything holy down here in this world? Right? You say, well, the Bible. Yeah, the King James Bible. But, you know, most folks today got an NIV. Christians today, they're in the NIV. They're in something else. I mean, really. You know, but, hey, I know this. You are the temple of God and of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. You are the connection that this world and lost folks can see anything holy. Right there. And it's when they rub up against you, right? When you're at work, right? Or you go to the store, or you're at your friends and stuff like that. They ought to see something there, okay, that's going to be there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. Yeah, you are important. 2 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 16. He says, "There one agreement hath the temple of God with idols." Right? You're paying attention to that, right? In your Christian life? You say, it's not important how I live. You know, I can, you know, other folks do that kind of stuff. No. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Boy, what a thing is that, right? You're it. You and I are it, folks. I know, folks, we are in despairing days. That is for sure, okay? But we were told that it was going to get this way. All right? You know, the Bible, the way things go on, that kind of stuff. And Jesus Christ said, all right, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the branches. Hey, Christian, you can't lay down on that, okay? You just can't put that aside and say, well, I don't have to live holy. I don't need to read my Bible every day, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're the temple of God, okay? You are the place where men link, can I say, and come, will be able to come in the presence of God on this earth. I'm not trying to make you, you know, think that just because you're walking with someone in a room and all of a sudden it all lights up and stuff like that. No, you understand. But God, the Bible does say God lives in you. Right? The Holy Spirit is in you, right? If you're saved, now you're it. And it, you know, you have the real thing. We really do. You have the Holy Spirit. He's dwelling inside of you. You've got no business laying down, quitting. All right? Now, lastly, let me give you one more thing here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go down through here. Some things. 1 Corinthians 12. And look down here at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. All right, so if any man, 1 Corinthians, oh, I'm still in 14, excuse me. Let me get over here in 12, 27. All right, now, what does it notice here? Paul, writing to these Corinthians, says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Well, Jesus Christ, I'm sure you're aware of, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, okay? We realize and thank God that he arose in a body that had borne those sins, okay? He was raised, right? That body was raised from the dead and ascended on high, where he now sits on the right hand of God. So he bore our sins in his own body, and now we understand that body is risen, right? It's gone, right? You can't find the literal body of Jesus Christ in this world, right? Except you can. Okay. So what are you talking about? He said, hey, guys, I'm leaving. So you know what? You're it. You're my body. What a thing, right? You are members of his body and flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones, right? And I say, you know, in the Bible, when it talks about a husband and a wife, right? It talks about them being one flesh. All right? They're one body, okay? So I believe this. There's not, no matter how close you may be with a friend or whoever, something like that, there's no intimacy like a relationship between a husband and wife on this earth, right? On this earth, you are the ultimate in relationship, okay, right? On earth, there's nothing equal, can I say, to that? I don't believe. You have that then spiritually with the Lord Jesus Christ in that relationship, okay? You are the body of Christ. Now, Christian, I hope that maybe presses you to try to get closer in your fellowship with God, okay? Where you just can't give up. It ain't going to happen, Lord. You're going to say, just ain't going to do it. I mean, after his ascension, he said, hey, you're my body now, right? You guys are it, right? Can I say, what a responsibility, right? He's put on us right there. He lives in us. We live in him. We are his body. Can I say, tell you, Christian, before I'm going to close here, right? Just don't forget, you know, what you are, all right? What you are. You're going to, you know, you go through a whole bunch going down through and stuff like that. But still, through all that things, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the branches. You're the temple of God. And you are the body of Christ, okay? That church, that body, that relationship we have with him, it's close, okay? It's close. And I say, Christian, don't forget what you are in this world. May, you know, the Lord give you grace and strength in your walk down here. Though you go through trials and tribulations, you don't forget those things. And you work on that and ask God to draw you closer to those things through him, through those things that he said you are. You're it. Okay, Father, I sure thank you for these folks' attention. Lord, I pray it was a blessing and a help. God, I pray that they got something from it and maybe a refreshing here, Lord. I know many times the things could tend to just drag us down, get us disappointed and discouraged and all kinds of stuff. But Lord, these you said we are, God. And may we see that in true light and walk again in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.